listener production. Hey guys, it's Katie. This episode is so different to our normal Better For It format. I want to try something different for this episode because I've had COVID for the second time round. My immune system is quite shot, and I wanted to just come on here and talk to you about the daily habits I've been doing to get me back on track with my health and my life, and hopefully these will inspire you to also do the same. So obviously Better For It is all about how we can make small changes to our lives, how to live our best lives, and also how to be healthier day to day. I have to be honest with you, my health has been through the absolute ringer this year. I've been getting sick every few weeks. I feel like I've been taking one step forward and like three steps back. I start getting in these great routines. I start getting fit again. I start making goals. I wanted to do a half marathon in September. And I feel like I start doing and making some really good changes in my life. And then all of a sudden I get sick and I have to put it all on hold. And I feel like I just keep going back to square one all the time. So I'm just really over it. So I wanted to share today my five core habits that I swear by. This is a reset episode for how to get back into your healthy habits. Maybe you've had COVID or another setback, or maybe you just want to reintroduce some strong habits back into your routines. So let's jump in to habit number one. Habit number one is color coding. If you're an OG and you've heard me talk about color coding, I did an episode with Chad Cohen all about nailing your productivity routine. So if you're an OG, I actually know some of you guys do this because you send me photos of your highlighters and your diaries, or you send me screenshots of your calendars and how you've color coded. So color coding is basically planning your day or your week and giving each category of your life a specific color. So if you're doing it physically, you can do it with highlighters, or if you're doing it on your phone or your laptop, you can do it with a digital calendar. So for me, yellow is work, blue is fitness or movement, purple is social media, that could be posting for work or it could be just scrolling, pink is socializing, green is podcast, being in the studio or podcast planning, orange is self-care, and then I've got this random color which is like a coral, which is life admin. I probably need to change that color. Anyway, all those colors represent something really important in my life. And the reason why I love to color code is because it's a visual representation of what my week will look like. It makes me feel calm, organized, and in control of the week ahead of me. It helps me manage my time better, more effectively, and it also helps me manage my energy levels better as well. So when you look at the end of the week or the end of your day, you should see a bit of a rainbow. Obviously, you're not socializing every night, but it is really important for humans to feel like they've got some connection. So maybe in there you've FaceTimed a best friend or FaceTimed your brother or called your nan or even sent out a few text messages. Whatever it is, try and get the rainbow in your week. The benefits of color coding is you can see where you're leaking your time or your energy, and you can also find your gaps in the day. So at the end of each week or day, you can assess and rinse and repeat what worked and what didn't work. To give you an example, if you look at your calendar and there's way too much yellow and not enough orange, yellow being work, orange being self-care, that could lead to burnout. If you look on your calendar and you see there's way too much purple, that could be a scrolling Instagram too much, you're wasting time, and there's not enough coral, which is life admin, that could lead you to feeling anxious or stressed or falling behind or procrastinating. So it's a really good visual tool to see the things you're doing wrong, the things you're doing right. And also it's really nice to look at this as a form of feedback. Don't take it too critically. Don't take it too seriously. You can also change what's in your calendar. But it is a really powerful way to plan your ideal day and your ideal week, and also to prioritize what's important to you and what makes you thrive. Habit number two is Vedic meditation. This is something that has changed my life. Vedic meditation for me has been something that I have struggled on and off to remain consistent with. But I do Vedic because it's the deepest form of meditation. It's TM meditation, and that's a form of meditation that helps you transcend. And I know that sounds really wacky, but if you are someone that does TM or Vedic meditation, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I started doing this when I was, yes, depressed and really struggling in life. And I feel like it's something that is a real anchor for me, and it helps me with my immunity, it helps with my nervous system regulation, and it's something I really fall back on when my immune system is struggling, because that's actually when I started doing it. So when I'm meditating regularly, I often get sick less because I'm less stressed. And sometimes when I am meditating when I'm sick, which is a really good time to meditate, when you're sick, you should be meditating more. If you're falling asleep in your meditations, that's great because it also offsets fatigue. It's a deep state of rest and it's very restorative. The benefits for me are mental clarity, feeling a sense of peace and calm, feeling connected to myself. I feel like I've got a connection to source or higher power. I feel like I've got reduced stress and anxiety. I've got improved concentration, focus, and memory. I feel like my focus is so much better when I'm meditating. And I also feel like it helps with my energy and my resilience. I feel like when I'm meditating, I feel a lot more resilient. And why? Because it's fucking hard. Sitting with yourself and sitting with your thoughts and unpacking what's going on in your mind is very hard. You also get to a place where you can have no words. When I'm meditating, often I can get into a really deep place where I have like transcended and I don't have any thoughts. It's just me sitting in silence and it's a very peaceful place. When I'm stressed and I close my eyes to meditate, I've got so many to-do lists and thoughts and things that make me feel anxious, but that is the time where I need it the most because it's also helping dissipate that stress. And after some time, the thoughts go away and it's just me sitting in nothingness. Another thing that's really interesting is I eat less food and I also drink less when I'm meditating regularly. Let me explain this. When I'm stressed, I tend to stress eat or turn to sugar. Now, the less stressed I am is probably better grammar, the less I do these sort of addictive, bingey behaviors. So when I'm meditating regularly, I don't feel the need to go out and drink too much because I don't really need to blow off steam because every day I'm blowing off steam in a really healthy and beneficial way for my body. So to sum up the benefits, I'm a better human when I'm meditating and I'm also a healthier human and my immune system really improves. These days I meditate at home. I used to have a meditation chair actually, which was so nice and so comfortable. I don't light incense. I don't light candles. I don't do anything to kind of, I don't know, calm the environment because I like to think if I don't have, I don't want any resistance to doing it. So I literally want to be able to just close my eyes and be able to tap into that source and use that resource. So at the moment, I like to meditate in the morning. But lately I've just been meditating whenever I start to feel kind of calm and relaxed. And sometimes in the morning I can wake up feeling a little stressed. I can have a bit of cortisol in my system. So I kind of just pick times throughout the day that I like to meditate and I feel calm enough to do it. I'm a very hyperactive person. And for me, I can often meditate a lot better when I've exercised. But since having COVID, I've not been exercising. So I've been meditating when I've kind of let off some steam throughout the day. And that's usually in the afternoon. How often I would do it is 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night. I have not been doing 40 minutes meditation for a very long time. I fell out of that habit a long time ago. Ideally, 20 minutes is the goal every day. But at the moment, I've been doing a few minutes at a time because I haven't been doing it for a long time. So basically, the way I'm going to build up back to my 20, 40-minute meditations are starting off with a few minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, and then jump from 5 to 10 minutes and kind of set these little small incremental goals until I get back to a nice long meditation. I personally don't think you need to spend a long time meditating. I think 10 minutes is great. And honestly, lower your expectations. If you're starting to get into it again, set the bar really low. If you set the bar really low, you will actually do it. It's like if someone said, hey, can you do 50 push-ups? You go, nah. But if someone said, hey, can you do one? You go, of course I can. So set the bar really low so that you're not having to rely on any motivation. It's literally so low and then you'll actually feel motivated after doing it that you'll want to keep going. So guided meditations are also a really good option if you're new to meditating. Headspace is great. Dr. Joe Dispenza does some amazing ones for people who are sick or who are struggling with their immunity or who are healing. He's got some amazing ones on YouTube. And then speaking of YouTube, you can type in sound healing, or if you're on Spotify, you can type in 432 music, or some binaural beats are really good. You can also do some kundalini yoga or some slow yoga. Any kind of guided meditation with some slow movement is also super handy and you'll also get some amazing benefits from. Speaking of movement, I'm now going to jump in to habit number 3, which is daily movement. Now, hear me out. When I say movement, I'm not actually talking about exercise. I'm talking about movement. So that could be walking, stretching, mobility, going for a run, going to the gym or Pilates, any form of movement that's getting your heart rate up a little bit and creating some blood flow. Doesn't have to be intense. And I like to call it movement, not exercise, because depending on how you're feeling in your life right now, depending on your immune system, depending on if you're coming back from injuries, movement could be rehab, movement could be yoga. And I think it's really important to lower your expectation, particularly when you're coming back from, you know, whether it's COVID or some sort of setback, any form of movement is good as long as you've got clearance from your doctor. Movement for me is number one. You know, I've been an athlete my whole life and I've trained quite intensely for my whole life. It makes me feel strong and empowered. It makes me feel in control of my life. It makes me feel connected to my body. It makes me feel excited for my life. It gives me motivation. It gives me mental clarity. It helps regulate my emotions. It's the most powerful and effective mood changer and energy giver for me. If I'm not exercising, I'm a fucking psycho. I need exercise because I'm undiagnosed ADHD. I need it to be able to focus throughout the day. If I'm not exercising for a long period of time, I start to feel depressed. I start to feel not myself. So I've said movement here because when I'm sick or I'm struggling, I try and do some form of movement. When I had COVID, I didn't want to get my heart rate up because it affected my lungs, but I was still doing some movement, some light stretching, some breath work, just bringing my awareness to my body and trying to let my body heal by giving it some oxygen, which is super, super important. I'm going to give you some of the benefits that exercise does for me. So my diet improves when I'm training. For me, it goes hand in hand. When I'm exercising or I'm moving, I'm also eating well because I don't want to undo all of that hard work. I also eat higher protein when I'm training and I also drink less alcohol because when I'm exercising, particularly boxing, it gives me a big thrill. It also gives me like a big dopamine release. All the endorphins hit me super hard when I'm training. So I often don't go out as much because I want to use my weekends to recover and sort of get back on track with my training. For me, if I'm angry or I'm feeling distressed or I'm kind of feeling like I need to shift some energy, I will box. I will box and I will box hard. And for me, it's a really great way to release stored energy or any sort of pent-up emotions. Movement in general strengthens my mind and my body. It gives me energy and motivation for the day. Like I said, I'm a bit ADHD, undiagnosed. I'll get back to you soon when I have a diagnosis. So it allows me to focus on the task. If I haven't exercised during the day, my brain is scattered. Like right now, I haven't exercised and I'm pretty scattered today. I feel like I've got thoughts everywhere and I really feel a difference mentally when I'm not exercising. I also feel like I'm inspiring myself when I'm exercising and I feel proud of myself. You know, it's something hard that I do every day that makes me feel really good about myself. It helps my mental health massively. And you know what? I need the endorphins. So how I exercise, I mean, I actually train quite intuitively. I usually train probably like 5 days a week and I usually plan my training sessions. But since having COVID and feeling like my immunity is low and also struggling with my lung capacity and my energy levels, I asked myself, how does my body feel right now? And what does my body need right now? So this morning I woke up not feeling very good and I said, what does my body need right now? And my body needed a meditation. So that's exactly what I did. It needed a healthy meal and it needed not much coffee. I had 2, but I normally have 4. So that's a win. Asking myself, what does my body need right now is key in healing, in recovery, and also in planning out my training sessions. So pre-COVID, the forms of exercise I was doing were boxing, HIIT workouts, Zoo workouts, which is primal bodyweight movement, some long runs between 6 to 12K, and some interval stairs on flat grass or sometimes some hills. I do train pretty hard, but right now, the biggest goal is to just get myself back on track without having another relapse in sickness. So post-COVID, that means cutting back my training sessions in intensity, time, type, and volume. So my training coming back from this will be completely different. My lung capacity is not as strong. I did a training session on Saturday and I really pushed myself too much. Since then, my lungs have been sore. It feels like during the training session, it felt like I was breathing through a straw. I couldn't get enough oxygen in and I got really competitive. So I know I can't be in a competitive environment, training at a really busy gym. I need to use this next few weeks to keep my heart rate low and just really ease back in. I don't want to shake up my nervous system. I don't want to put pressure on my body. I just want to exercise to feel good and get my body sort of back into some normality. So basically what I'm going to do now is I'm going to readjust my training sessions after having COVID twice. And I'm also going to lower my expectations. I'm going to do some slow walks, some slow stairs, and some Pilates, right? This is a hard thing to do for someone who is high intensity and extremely competitive. But this is what I need to do in order to get my health back on track. So jumping now into some work chat. Habit number 4 is the hour of power. I don't know if you've heard this before, but the hour of power is scheduled into my work day. It's uninterrupted, it's workflow, and it's really good if you've got brain fog or you're struggling with your attention. So the hour of power is basically a block of time which is completely uninterrupted and focused work, or it could be study. It means phone is on airplane mode, there's water on the desk, I've gone to the bathroom, and I've set up my environment completely distraction free. Hour of power is like you got the blinders on, someone could throw a brick at your face and you ain't even fucking lifting your head because you are focused. The reason why I do the hour of power is because when I have a time goal, I feel like I do better and more focused work. Like I said, I can get super, super distracted and the environment for me needs to be Katie safe, which means nothing can steal my attention and my phone or my emails going off or needing to pee is the ultimate distraction. Once I get up off that desk, I might go into the fridge, look for some food, check my emails, reply to some Instagram DMs, and I've completely lost my workflow. So literally, every distraction is removed in the hour of power. The benefits of doing the hour of power is it's deep focus work and it allows me to get into a flow state, which means I can be creative. It means I can focus on the task at hand. And actually, more often than not, once the hour is done, I feel like I'm in a really good state and I can keep going and push through that time. So sometimes I might sit down and do an hour and I actually might do 2 hours, which is pretty good for me. I get a lot more done and it's great for people who work better in bouts of time. And for me, I work a lot better doing focused work and taking a break. You can also schedule your work day when your energy is high. So to give you an example, this also goes hand in hand with color coding and planning your day. You sit down in the morning and you color code and you plan your day and you figure out in your day where you're going to do your hour of power. So if you've got really good energy at say 10 a.m., and 2 p.m., which is mine. I don't know why, but at 10 a.m. I feel good and at 2 p.m. I feel good. I've always kind of been like that. If you know the times that you feel energized and you have mental clarity, do your hour of power then. If you start fading in the afternoon, perhaps that's not a good time to do your hour of power. So it's really good to schedule in your work day when you feel like you've got your most energy. If you've got an hourglass timer, that will be so handy for you and you'll never be distracted by your phone. How I do the hour of power is I usually do it every day. You don't have to do it on a work day. It could be to clean your house. It could be on the weekends. It could be if you're studying. It could be if you're exercising. However you do your hour of power, as long as you are focusing on that simple task and removing all distractions, then that is the hour of power. The hour of power doesn't have to be 1 hour. It can be 30 minutes. It can be 2 hours. It's literally just a block of time where you're doing focused work, study, or an activity. Our final habit is quite jam-packed. It is breath work. There are so many different forms of breath work, but I'm going to talk to you today just about 3. The first one I want to talk about is the physiological sigh by Dr. Andrew Huberman. It is a double inhale through the nose and an exhale through the mouth. I'm actually going to give you a sample of what it sounds like. Double in through the nose fast and out through the mouth. This is a really powerful form of breath work that I like to do if I'm at my desk, if I'm having my coffee, kind of any time I take a break. So I get up off my desk and I go, all right, this is a good time. I literally just do it throughout the day at any point in time where I feel a little bit stressed or I need to just kind of offload a little bit of anxiety. It also is really good if you're feeling fatigued as well because it gives your body a nice oxygen boost and it offsets some carbon dioxide. The other one you can do is the 4-7-8 breath work. This is a more guided technique. And what you're doing is you're counting the beats as you breathe in and out as a way to focus and quieten your mind. So you breathe in for 4 seconds or 4 beats. You hold your breath for 7 seconds and then you exhale for 8 seconds. The longer exhale encourages you to completely empty your lungs, and a long exhale is for relaxation. So if you are doing a long exhale, this will help you to relax your body, calm your mind, calm your nervous system. I like to do the 4-7-8 breath work at night or in the afternoon to slow down my mind and body before sleep. Now, the last one is obviously quite a big and more advanced breathwork technique, which is Wim Hof. I do the Wim Hof breathwork and I usually do it on YouTube, and it's a 10-minute breathwork routine. I do it like literally on a guided one, and I'll do it. I often do Wim Hof breathwork when I am having a breakdown, when I'm feeling really stressed and overwhelmed, particularly this 10-minute one, because it is a really powerful state changer, a really strong way to elevate your mood, give you energy. And if you are having proper anxiety, this 10-minute breathwork will snap you out of it, or it snaps me out of it. So I do it when I really need to state change, or I might be feeling really exhausted or anxious, and it leaves my body feeling calm and relaxed and energized, because this particular one also really floods your body with oxygen. I feel like for me, exercise is my number one, but breathwork would be my second option for the fastest way to state change. So if I had to do it in order, it would be exercise as my number one, breathwork as my second, and then meditation as my third. And I also do journaling as well. But breathwork for me is like doing boxing for my mind. It gives me the same feeling of calm and peace and connectedness to self. And it also floods my body with dopamine and all of those feel-good neurotransmitters. The benefits are that it highly oxygenates the system, it balances blood pressure, it helps you with your respiratory system, which is also fantastic post-COVID, just as long as you're doing it not too hard and you're not pushing your lungs too hard. It helps with immune system, and it also helps offset cortisol and releasing of stress hormones. And the biggest one for me is it helps with mental clarity and mental focus, and it also helps with my mental health. I've kind of spoken about how I do it and how often I do it. The physiological sigh is something I like to do throughout the day. Double inhale, exhale. I do it at any moments. It might be if I've read an email and I've felt stressed. It might be something I do in the afternoon. I don't drink coffee in the afternoon, but I get a bit sleepy. So the physiological sigh for me gives me a lot of energy. So I like to do that throughout the day. I wouldn't do it late at night because it kind of like wakes me up. The 4-7-8 breath work is something I do to relax and unwind at night. And then the Wim Hof I often do in the mornings. And I kind of use that when I'm having like a really bad anxiety. So I use that as a tool to get me out of that state. And it works within 10 minutes. Like, I cannot believe how powerful and potent that tool is. And it's free on YouTube. So breath work is incredible for me. It's been really good to help with my lung capacity. Been really good to oxygenate the system. Post-COVID, it's been really helpful with my immune system and to regulate my nervous system. I do get anxious when I get sick, and breath work has been amazing because obviously I can't exercise. So they are my 5 core habits that help me feel back on track, and they also make me feel grounded and energized. If you are struggling, if you're struggling post-COVID, or you've had a setback, or you're just feeling like you need some strong habits or a better routine, or you're just struggling with your discipline, then hopefully these habits help you as well. If there's anything you want to talk about on Instagram, or if you're bouncing back from COVID and you need some inspiration or some motivation, hit me up on Instagram at Katie Williams and let's have a chat, because we are all in this together. I'm struggling too, and I promise you, you're not alone. Join me here next week where I chat to productivity expert Donna McGeorge about how we can achieve more in less time. Guys, thank you so much. That was our first podcast with me speaking directly to you. I feel like I'm connected to you. I really hope you got a lot out of today's episode. And I will see you guys next week as we get back to our normal format. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for listening, and have a beautiful week. Better For It is presented by me, Katie Williams. Producer, Lindsay Green. Audio producer, Nikki Sitch. Executive producer, Nick McClure. Stay in touch with me and follow me on Instagram at Katie Williams. Listener.